And on today's program, the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza rolls on to the Old West. We're taking a train out west to talk about
Wicca Wicca
Wild Wild West. I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadak,
Eric Siska,
Ben Worcester,
and we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. This week, like I said, hashtag SBE2016 rolls on. It is the Wicked Wicked Wild Wild West from 1999, directed by relatively terrible director Barry Sonnenfeld. And in studio today, we have, of course, our good friend. You know him, you love him. He's from the Blame It on Outer Space podcast. Mr. Ben Worcester, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm happy to be out of the bunker, you know, breathing some fresh air.
Yeah, I don't like it when you get loose.
Oh, it's just an every once in a while thing.
Yeah, you got to take them for a walk once in a while.
Stretch the limbs out a bit.
So can I just say, the first time I watched this movie was approximately 2.5 hours ago.
Oh, wow.
Get out of town.
I dodged it. Totally dodged it.
That is insane.
Because you saw this in theaters.
Oh, I saw this in the theater, wow. Yeah.
Are we talking opening weekend?
It might have been.
It must have been.
That's the only excuse. Well, I don't know. Like, I know. Here's the thing. You know, there was not much to do where I grew up.
Sure.
So, you know, you'd go to the mall, and all you would ever do at the mall is go to the movie theater. So this was definitely either a Saturday or Sunday morning.
You grew up in feudal Japan, did I?
Yeah, right? I did. But I had the time portal lantern that took me to a fat kid mall in the 1990s, and I'd go to see the movies.
Visit thelittle.org for tickets. So, yeah, of course, this is the movie where Will Smith is a cowboy and Kevin Klein is a jackass. And together, they foil...
He's a U.S. Marshal.
I think you mean jack of all trades.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A jackass of all trades. Let's compromise.
Go. He's got gadgets and everything. Oh,
gadgets, so doodads, gizmos, and a few whatnots. Kevin Klein's got it all in this movie.
Are the whatnots his breasts?
Oh, he's wearing a dress. You know what's fucking hilarious? A man in a dress.
What?
Why is he... I mean, okay... I get
once is plenty.
I get the theory of this being fucking hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But what I don't understand is why
he already wore a dress in In-N-Out.
No, he didn't. But what he is wearing in this movie is white face paint that is so white it looks like Kabuki theater.
Yeah.
Why is that part of the thing?
And he's talking like, "Oh, hello, I'm a lady."
Oh man, it's embarrassing.
He's a master of disguise.
You guys like Dana Carvey, master of disguise?
Yeah.
Both are technically comedies, right?
Look, Dana Carvey, yeah, you're right. They're both technically comedies. Good word choice there. Dana Carvey is more believable as a turtle than fucking Kevin Klein is as this woman, though. This is terrible.
Can I start with an IMDb message board comment?
Oh yes, yeah. It's probably good to do. We usually read things at the end, but it's good to sort of start the episode off with
because
this.
Because this is, you know, the Wild Wild West, I guess, if you're in your 50s, is a piece of Americana that you really appreciate.
Well, it's based on the television program.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's something you grew up with. You knew who Jim West was. You knew who Artemis Gordon was.
I think it was like 1965, ran for about 3 seasons.
Sure.
I grew up in the... Yeah, I'm 50 years old.
Was anybody worth a damn starring in that show?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think anyone that we know was a huge star.
Was it a sci-fi show?
There was no... What are you talking about? There was like four channels.
I mean, like, were there elements of, like...
If my old man memory serves...
Come on, dust those cobwebs off.
I think it was just the gadgets. I don't think there was any steampunk or sci-fi. Okay. I think it was like James Bond in the Old West.
Got it.
That sounds fun.
It sounds fun in theory.
So this comment starts with, Bruce Willis is Shaft.
What?
That's the subject heading.
Okay.
Why not after Jim West turning black in WWW?
Oh, fucking kill yourself.
And John Wayne would have been great playing Reverend Martin Luther King.
Now that I would
have
actually...
a dream.
I would
that
see that.
Someday, my children.
I would see that.
While Bob Mitchum would have starred as Little Richard and Richard Boone, you're older than I am, sir, because I don't know who that is, as Louis Armstrong. And what about Tom Cruise playing Sammy Davis Jr.
What
or Tobey Maguire and Daniel Radcliffe in The Different Strokes, the movie?
Dude, you idiot. No one's making a Different Strokes movie.
Any other? And then that's like the end of his weird racist tirade.
What year was this from?
This is from January 31st, 2016.
Oh, fuck. Oh my God. Are you serious?
This guy got out of bed in the year of our Lord, 2016, when we had 8 years of an African-American president.
Dude, this is, it's less than 6 months ago.
Wait, and you're just now getting to Wild Wild West?
I watched it 2 hours ago.
Did you write this?
Any other examples of white actors, actresses playing black people or characters? That's the thing about racists. They want to tie you. They want you to just, come on, let's join the conversation.
Right, they want to be like, gotcha.
Hey, I'm not racist. I'm just trying to talk about it, okay?
He is right about one thing, though.
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-oh.
This is a terrible movie.
God, what a fucking piece of dog shit. Was that written by Donald Trump? What was the username on that?
Oh, that's a good question. I should shame him publicly.
Do it.
I don't know how to do it.
Jeffy Davis.
Oh, David Duke. I didn't know he wrote movie reviews.
I love David Duke's movie reviews.
At David Duke IMDb.
He just puts his name on there.
The IMDb welcomes our new correspondent, David Duke.
Did you seriously not find it?
No, I couldn't find
it. It's co-hosted David Duke and Lights Camera Jackson. That little kid movie reviewer who blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, man, that's one way to get the ire of Eric Siska.
Because I made fun of him for going to a Trump rally.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Deserve it. One thing about the IMDb page, though.
Yes.
Because usually, especially for like bigger movies like this that have a lot of money behind them, they get that like bump rating where it's like, this is not a 7.8 movie. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
This has a 4.8 on IMDb.
That's tough, yeah, man. That's a rough
says
ride.
That something.
That like, smells right, about yeah. right.
Because it's usually a 6, to your point. Like, yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? If any movie has $100 million behind it, it's got a 6 for some reason.
Well, because there's idiots out there who are like, this is the best thing ever. You know, like, there's always that person who's like, Wild Wild West, 10 stars. Wicca Wicca, 10 stars.
So the weird thing is, yeah, obviously Jim West was not African-American on the show. They got Will Smith because they wanted this movie to make money, and that's how you made money in the 90s.
Oh, know? Absolutely. That's just what you did.
And it's weird. Like, the way to do this, in my opinion, you know, it's weird that, you know, there would be an African-American Secret Service agent or whatever, unless you're going full-on Django Unchained.
Well, because we're talking, this movie's in Louisiana, 1869.
It's a tough right. year.
So, the blood is still wet from the Civil War.
And the way to do that, I think, is to just kind of, we're in a fantastical realm anyway. There's fucking giant spiders. Just ignore it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe one or two comments here and there, and we just fucking ignore it, and he's a person, and we just enjoy ourselves at the movies for 2 hours.
But, or, I mean, you just watch Wild Wild West and it sucks and you leave. You might not enjoy yourself at the movies.
But this one, Kenneth Branagh's getting into fucking deep territory, man.
Oh yeah. God.
He's getting into Candyland.
He kind of is. I think Quentin Tarantino did a pass on this one.
Well, there's that. There's like a dude who's like a syllable away from using the N-word at Will Smith before he gets like kicked in the dick.
Oh, and wait, was that the movie reviewer? Oh, no. Oh, a character in the film.
The actual movie. Okay. The way they handle the race stuff is just, it's so clunky. Like, to Kenneth Branagh's point, like trading the barbs with Jim West, you know, right. With their like rhyming, like sing song. It's like, oh my God.
Well, it's weird because like Kenneth Branagh is a paraplegic in this movie. He doesn't have legs. He's running around. We're not running around, actually. He's in a wheelchair.
He's scooting
around. You know what, Steve? He's literally not running around. But, you know, and Will Smith's like, oh, you don't have legs, babadi-babadi joke. And then he's like, ha-ha, you're not a person. You know, it's like, oh, that's kind of less than fun for me.
Yeah. Not handled deftly, to say the least.
So this is like... All this stupid shit's like steampunk, right? Oh, is that what we're dealing with here?
Yeah, this is a grade A steampunker.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's that weird realm of like sub sci-fi. Kind of like you're not like fantasy wants nothing to do with you, and like you're just in this weird area that it's just like of creeps that like Victorian stuff. Man, those guys that like Victorian stuff, huh?
I mean, steampunk is just kind of like the Flintstones to me. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You know,
sure.
It might as well be dinosaurs making pulleys and et cetera, et cetera. Instead, it's just steam crap.
Right, like these steampunkers have, like, you know, a little box with a bird in it and it does their dishes.
Well, you got to clean your plates on the flying boat. They always have a flying boat.
They love dirigible technology. Right. They really wish that the Hindenburg crash hadn't happened.
Oh, well, I do too.
Well, I mean, everybody wishes it hadn't happened because we'd be flying around in dirigibles.
Well, yeah, and that wouldn't that be something?
It was the latest craze in public transportation. But now look what happened. We take the subway like a bunch of losers.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I just remembered now. I think Final Fantasy III. Mm. The video game.
Okay. Uh-huh. You just remembered.
Airships.
I just remembered. They have airships in that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the best use of airships of all time.
I think Final Fantasy VII has some airships. I feel like Sephiroth's getting around on those.
Please, with the Sephiroth.
Actually, guys, the airship is a trope in Final Fantasy games that shows up in pretty much every one of them.
Yeah, you know what, Ben? Those are the tweets we're getting.
But the...
We did an episode on Street Fighter a couple weeks ago, Ben. You might not have known this. We ate big bowls of shit on Twitter for our lack of fucking Street Fighter
knowledge. Wait, we did?
Really?
I didn't get a helping. Shove it in my mouth.
Oh, it was just a lot of like, you don't know the difference between Turbo and Turbo HD 2, and who could possibly care?
Yeah, I'm a 33-year-old married man.
In your defense, the line of Street Fighter games that were released makes absolute... It's
Street Fighter 2 times a million.
Craziness.
Yes. And then they just jumped to 4, didn't they?
No, was there a 3 at some point.
Wasn't there a 3D one at some point?
Oh, Street Fighter EX.
See, there you go. What does that even mean?
What?
I don't know.
Is there an airship in that?
Hey, you want to hear some interesting trivia about me that's not interesting at all? I've never played a Final Fantasy game.
Oh, you're missing out, man.
I don't even know what's going on.
You can't now. You're too old. You don't have the patience.
Too old to begin the training.
I saw that Spirits Within movie in the theaters, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Steve Buscemi's voicing a dead puppet or whatever happens.
Don't you remember that movie came out and it was like, is this the end of actors? And I saw the movie. I was like, no, it's not the end of actors.
That's what happened when Wild Wild West came out. They're like, is this the end of actors? So, actually, if I was a Yahoo News movie reviewer in 1999,
do you
know what would have been the headline of my movie review that would have been in a webpage that you can't find?
No.
Confederacy of Dunces.
Oh.
Boom!
This guy reads.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that book exist yet?
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that, like?
70s.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's Bible times.
That fucker died before anybody cared about that book.
People say he might not have even written it.
The editor might have.
Or his mother even.
Here's the thing that's weird. You remember like when this movie came out and it was like clearly geared towards kids? And, like, I'm pretty sure Burger King was involved in some capacity.
There you go. That's why I was at the theater. Just had my fucking BK club meal.
But here's the thing. This movie is filthy.
Yep.
5 minutes in, you get Will Smith's stunt ball sack.
I don't know. That's disgusting.
And man, I don't know if it's a ball sack or if it's a full-on peen.
Or is this Bush Town?
Well, right, no. Maybe dude, this is out of control, Bush Town.
Well, in 99, I don't know if anyone was trimming as much as you do now.
All right, so let's set the stage here. It's 1869.
Right.
69.
And
God.
Ulysses S. Grant is president.
Yes.
Will Smith is betting wedding a lady inside of a water tower.
Yeah, he's about to come in this town's water supply, by the way. Thanks a bunch.
The Animaniacs are there.
Oh, shit. The Animaniacs?
No.
Well, yeah, they're in the water tower, and it's supposed to be like, it's like a hot tub. That's what it feels the way they're shooting it. But it's
right.
They're really just sitting in tepid, like, water for the town that they're supposed to drink.
Right. Yeah.
Is that what that water is for? Or is that like, we're going to put out a fire water?
I have no idea.
It's probably a little of
it's
both.
It's disgusting either way.
But you know what? If, like, my saloon's going to burn down and you're going to shower it and cum, let the fucking thing burn to the ground.
Well, fire retardant.
Yeah, see? If cum can put out fires, you know.
We'd all be wearing firemen's uniforms.
All right, so here's what I have.
Yeah, what? You know what, man? If wishes were horses, beggars would ride.
Nice.
Yeah, no
All right.
problem.
I have a screenshot of this thing because I had to rewind this to find out if it was a penis or a sack or what's going on.
You mean we're all going to start looking at balls now?
So basically the thing tips over because all people are fucking with him or whatever. He falls out, he's naked,
right,
and he starts fighting people, and there's this really weird shot from behind his ass cheek
5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, I got kids here
because he's about to thwart a robbery.
What are we talking? I'm like, look at this.
That is an abnormal appendage. I think maybe that's
ball sack plus a blurry peen.
Right, there's penis there.
Also, look at the guy's face. He's
if that's Will Smith's cock, I'm disappointed. I have to say.
No, clearly he's not doing nudity.
So, do you think
for Barry Sonnenfeld of all
people? This is a stuntman's dick.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just have him with his cheeks out and then put a cup over it? And
that's precisely the problem. Why is there even a stunt dick to begin with? This is a kids movie.
And it's not a knock against stunt dicks or dicks that do their own stunts.
Hey, we work hard.
Thank you for your service.
But it's so nice.
Oh, yeah, work hard.
It's a weird thing to have a movie where there was also definitely fucking collector's cups of Burger King. That's all I'm saying.
Did they have the dick on him?
I don't think so. It was a surprise cock shot, dude.
I
remember that in the Flintstones movie that had plenty of collectors.
Oh, well, John Goodman gets up from the couch. You don't remember that?
Dude, yeah. I mean, John Goodman in that dress that he's wearing in that movie.
Yabba dabba dong.
He's getting interviewed by Wayne Knight. Wayne Knight Rock, and he keeps crossing and uncrossing his legs.
Oh, right.
Oh, man. I've seen both of those movies.
Okay. 90s movies were filthy.
They were.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
I don't know. I think it might
We'll never know.
Maybe a little hair, a little sack, and then maybe like a little cloth hanging over it.
There should not be anything there.
Agree to disagree.
Quick question.
Crop that out.
What's more disgusting?
Jeez.
Whatever's going on between Will Smith's legs or whatever's going on Ted Levine's ear?
Oh, man. Yeah, so Ted Levine is in this movie as like Kenneth Branagh's like heavy.
General Bloodbath McGrath.
Oh, and that's pretty cool.
And this guy, this is one of the meanest customers you'll ever see. So mean. I think his horse is Quick Draw McGraw.
Now, is this another beloved character from this two...
I don't think so.
From this two-bit television show?
I saw like two episodes of my life when I was a kid.
Sure.
I don't remember.
Don't you think it's weird when they pull out like these nothing television shows to make movies
out
of?
That's what we were doing in the 90s, man. Oh, it was just like anything that ever existed, let's make it
I mean, they did it with Mission Impossible. I think that was sort of the thinking, was like Mission Impossible was a success. Let's do it with another
Adam's
TV show.
Adam's Family was that?
Yeah. Right. Oh, right. Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah. How come there was no Trapper John M.D. movie?
I don't know what the hell
that is. Fuck?
Trapper John M.D. was a spinoff of MASH, man.
Oh, great.
Wasn't there a T.J. Hooker movie?
But just they were talking
only
about it.
Shatner has to be still Shatner.
It would be great.
He's 140 years old.
You could here's what you could do. You could do it right where he is like
do it, dude.
He's the chief of police.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And like his son is
J.T. Hooker.
Yeah, J.T. Hooker. Exactly right. There's like another
I like that.
And here's the tagline.
Oh, here we go.
This summer,
there's another hooker on the streets.
Right?
Yes!
And it's like fucking, yes! You know, Ben Stiller or something like
no,
that?
No, it's Channing Tatum, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, dude. Maybe he, like, kills a girl? Did they have to cover it up?
Oh, dark. No. Oh, wait. That's what it is.
Oh, shit.
JT Hooker.
Oh, he goes bad?
He's framed for the murder of the prostitute.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? So then TJ Hooker.
Right, yep.
He's got to get away from behind the desk and get back out on the streets and solve it to prove his son's innocence.
Is that my son in there?
Exactly right. Finally, I guess it would be grandson.
great grandson. Finally, Shatner gets his Oscar.
Oh, yeah, dude. This would be like his Rocky Creed movie.
Oh, right.
But, you know, maybe he'd get nominated and then not get it.
Everyone else is out there. I'm back on the wall. Everyone else I know is gone. Gonna read the newspaper in this cemetery.
I got the cancer in my bones. Bones?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, my 20s, while being a lot of fun a lot of the time, were pretty rough. I wasn't exactly rolling in dough. I lived at home until I was about 25, and for most of it, I didn't have this show or you lovely people in my life. I just kind of drifted around without direction and didn't know where to voice that. Then I started to get my crap together one piece at a time, and the last piece, which didn't come until my early 30s, was therapy. And man, I wish it came along sooner. Ever since I started sitting down with a licensed therapist, I've had a place to voice my insecurities and try to fashion plans to help me achieve my goals. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible, convenient, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WHM.
This episode's brought to you in part by Rocket Money, and they have this question for you. They handed to me just now. Mr. Rocket just handed me this. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they pay around $80 a month on subscription services, but the actual total is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. And with Rocket Money, you could lower those bills without resorting to having bean dinners every night of the week. You know, you have those bean dinners to try to save some few bucks, but if you were monitoring your spending with Rocket Money, you didn't necessarily need to eat every bean dinner. So find out what all the fuss is about. You know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like the Stars app. Don't get me started. You don't have to go through all the back end of the website anymore. You don't have to call customer service. Rocket Money helps you manage all your finances in one place as well and categorizes everything. It's easy to keep track of a whole budget. Even I can do it, and I got rocks in my head. So find out what 3 million people have already done. They've taken the Rocket, folks. Stop throwing the money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/WHM. That is rocketmoney.com/WHM. Once more, rocketmoney.com/WHM, which stands for We Hate Movies.
Oh, so, yeah. So this water tower falls over, whatever. He's best friends with President Ulysses S. Grant.
There's a fighting scene,
Right, because these cowpokes are stealing items or something.
They're stealing scientists.
Right, they're stealing eggheads.
I think that's kidnapping.
Yeah.
Oh, that scientist, he was stolen in the night.
Well, Steve's trying to be time period accurate where people are property. At least according to our villains.
Yes.
Oh, and our constitution.
Yes. That's right. Hey, founder's intent, buddy.
Yeah, so aren't they also stealing, like, nitroglycerin?
Yeah, there's some type of, like, bomb shit they call nitro. I don't know.
They're stealing, like, components, you know, for whatever. For,
you know what, Ben? For the bigger picture.
Yes.
Right, yeah, for the plot that is yet to come.
Right.
But with basically after this cool fight, we get... the DVD menu, which this title sequence is a DVD menu.
You're totally right. It fucking really sucks.
It's so embarrassing.
It's all like, it's a bunch of like comic looking panels and everybody, the character, and you get to see the character.
Which they kind of did in the 60s show.
It goes
trying to make it kind of like Bond in this, I think.
And you're right, Ben. It goes on way too long. There's way too many like upfront credits. It's like the actors, but like we're getting down to costume designers. It's like save it for the fucking end and just get to it.
It's like a prestige picture for these people.
Well, I guess, you know, because it's like a period piece, so like you got to care about all this stuff, even though this movie looks fucking terrible.
It looks, well, you look like you're at a theme park the entire time. There's no actual feeling to it.
Right. And a big reason for that is because, oh, I wish it was Westworld.
I know.
Well, because there's so much bad CGI in this movie. They're just supposed to be like walking in the desert in a couple of scenes, and it's clearly just green screen.
Oh, the green screen in this movie is bad. It's so bad. Every desert shot, it just, you can tell that they are on a set with zero chemistry. Kevin Kline and Will Smith.
Oh my God.
Not like, looking at each other.
Like, figure out what has worked before. You know what worked just a few years prior? Will Smith and fucking Jeff Goldblum. Mm-hmm. Or a few years earlier, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. Let's just get the gang back together.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, too, where it's like Men in Black was such a big hit. And they're like, let's just do Men in Black in the West again.
Exactly.
Same director, even.
Totally.
You know, that's a good point, because the technology in this fucking movie, man, it's cowboys and aliens.
It is.
Totally.
Cowboys and nonsense. Mm-hmm. My Yahoo reviews.
So Will Smith like goes to this saloon / bordello, and there's a big fight, and this is where he and Kevin Kline meet,
and everyone has to stop and look at how funny it is that a man might wear a dress at some point. Wouldn't that be just the funniest fucking thing in the universe?
Look at the bosom on him.
And if this is the one scene where it happens, whatever, that's your gag, congratulations, here's a fucking check. But, like, it's two-thirds of the movie.
But it's like, you know, a better way to infiltrate a gang is to infiltrate the gang.
Right.
Be a bad cowboy.
Exactly.
I could be a bad cowboy. Mark?
He also has, like, a hypnotic belt or something.
Oh, my God, right, because he tries to use the power of hypnosis on Bloodbath McGrath.
Yeah.
Did we get a first name on this guy?
General,
I guess.
Yeah, he's born General.
And he makes him, like, turns him into a dog. Like, he's barking like a dog.
He's like, you're going to do what I say just like a dog.
Yeah, and I was getting there.
And then, and so then, like, Ted Levine starts, like, fucking growling at this guy.
Oh, but then he won't stop growling. I wonder why. Oh, the hypnosis machine broke.
Oh, right.
Oh, he's stuck as a dog.
Because that's like the gag in this movie,
too. He should be a dog for the rest of the movie.
That would be pretty cool. Like Kevin Kline, his character is like this inventor, this Artemis whatever.
Gordon.
Oh, pardon. Jesus Christ. Looks like we got some of the fans of the TV show in the room.
We got someone who just listened to the Wild Wild West song a little too much.
Book-a-bow.
With Artemis from the start of this.
Oh.
No way.
That sucks.
It's in there. Yeah.
What a
it's
tight in there. Rhyme.
It fucking sucks, dude. Will Smith kind of sucks, right? Like, hey, in general, like in everything.
The song is better than the movie. I'm going to put that out there.
Song's only 2.5 minutes long.
There exactly right. I said it when you guys got here. The song in the end credits, Wicca Wicca, Wild Wild West, is the best part of this movie.
It's, the song is like stubbing your toe. The movie's like getting your leg cut off.
Or both in the case of Artemis. or gut shot, which happens 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
And the guy just gets shot in the gut.
Yeah.
This movie's abhorrent. Hey. And it was like right in the middle of like all the innuendos.
Why do you think there's two wilds? That's how wild this West is.
You're right. It's not just the Wild West. It's the Wild Wild West.
Is that describing? No.
Wicca Wicca.
Is that describing how crazy the Wild West is in this? Or is it describing Jim West?
Oh. I think it's a little bit of both, you know what I mean?
A little from column A, a little from
column
B. They
should have called it Wild Wild West West. So you got both.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Did you notice, speaking of the crude humor in this movie, there's like, so it's Kevin Kline dressed in drag, and it's like Ted Levine's going to fuck him, and they're trying to find a room in the bordello to do the deed.
Uh-huh.
And so Kevin Kline's like opening all these doors, and he opens one door, and he's like, oh, I've never seen that before, or something like that. Close the door. Open door number two to a fucking goat sound. Oh. We're making bestiality jokes in this movie.
Oh, my God, that's great.
That is a wild, wild, wicked wild time.
Right, yeah.
And I've just got my kid here. We just fucking went to the Burger King Kids Club meeting.
And you meeting?
Get, oh, they had meetings, dude. They had secret meetings.
Went down to the VFW?
Hell yeah, dude. You brought a Whopper and you brought your pride.
So, at the whatever this scene, they're like, oh, let's work together or maybe not. They go, Jim West goes to the White House and meets the president, who's also inexplicably played by Kevin Kline. Like,
it's the second time he plays a president's doppelganger in a movie.
What do we think about Kevin Kline? I kind of like him. I do like him. I mean, Fish Called Wanda's a lot of fun.
Oh,
I think
sure.
He's very fun in that movie.
Great movie.
He's all right.
He's a guy that's going to hit it out of the park, but you got to throw it just the right way. You
right.
Can't
this
just
is
kind
of like the last... This is like the end of Kevin Kline, right?
Yeah.
Like... What has he been in recently besides Last Vegas?
Oh, yikes. Oh, Emperor's Club?
What the hell was Last Vegas?
Are you shitting me, bro?
No, I just legitimately asked you a question.
What would happen if we get Morgan Freeman,
mm-hmm.
Michael Douglas,
oh,
Robert De Niro,
Kevin Kline,
and... They go to Vegas as old men.
Right, right.
Well, answer is I have no idea.
I'll tell you what he's fucking great on, and it's not like every episode, but it's recurring. He's Mr. Fish Odor on Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, he's really good on that.
That's pretty fantastic. And get this. I think Jerry Orbach might be spinning in his grave. He's in this live-action Beauty and the Beast movie playing Maurice, dude.
Oh. Well, no,
Lumiere. Oh, right. Who's Maurice then?
No. Lumiere is...
Jerry Orbach, right?
Yes, who is now played by Ian McKellen.
Right.
Ooh. And then I think Maurice is the clock.
Oh, the clock. Yeah, well, so he's in this Beauty and the Beast movie.
That sounds terrifying.
It does sound terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Wow. So...
It's back on track.
It's very distracting that he's the president. He's playing Ulysses S. Grant, and I mean, like, he's just talking gruff. And, like, there's a gag that they look a lot alike, so that I guess Artemis Gordon impersonates the president anyway.
Well, I think he's trying to show Will Smith the importance of the art of the disguise.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something.
Well, they had a rivalry in their first meeting, too, where it's like... Yeah, he wanted to get one over on him.
You know? And, like, you know, the way that you want to call somebody out for something like this when you're dealing with the president is point a gun in their face. Like, Will Smith holds a gun to the president's head and he's like, who are you really?
And then he shoots the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, he also drew a gun on a guy in the White House right before this, too. I mean,
he's pulling guns out left and right.
Will Smith would be dead.
Well, this is, as we learn at the end of the movie, though, dude, the Secret Service hasn't been invented yet. The president was just some dude.
What did they do after Lincoln died? Like, just, well, whatever.
Well, they
we'll get him next time.
They waited for two guys to stop a crazy, supposedly dead Confederate soldier who was, you know, trying to take over the world in a big, giant spider.
I'm sure Grant had some good men around that could be some bruisers. I mean, come on, the guy was leading the Union.
That's true.
See the size of that beard?
Yeah.
Man knows what he's doing. I kind of wish this was a Ulysses S. Grant movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Wild Wild West starring Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah. I mean, every time he was on screen, I just wanted him to stick around.
Well, Ulysses S. Grant biopic starring Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go to your midnight movie.
Yeah, and obviously vampires or whatever happens, probably.
Oh, sure. But he, like, meets, like, the president of France and fucking stuns him.
Yeah, hey, man.
Yeah. And he's like, now I'm going to go down and reconstruct the South.
And he starts, one stunner at a time,
starts
dude.
Stunning vampires, you know, the Creole vampires.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, right? They're all like, the South will rise again.
They get down
so
to
will the sun.
He gets down to New Orleans, right? And like Antonio Banderas and Brad Pitt are just hanging out. He's fucking stunning that whole hotel that he's got.
This is the only real evil left.
What's the deal with Interview with the Vampire? Is that a good movie?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's a fun one, though.
You know, it's Neil Jordan.
Yeah.
It's always like halfway okay.
So what I love is the way this mission starts out is Ulysses S. Grant tells these two buffoons that someone has written him an angry letter and they have to go investigate it. Can you imagine that now? Like, oh, someone wrote me like a mean letter that said they were angry with me. Like, I'm sending out my top men to check it
to
out.
To be fair, they sent him a cake with tarantulas in it.
Oh, so, I forgot about the cake.
So there's a little bit of a...
Which is awesome, though, because, like, this script is so terrible. And he's just like, yeah, I got this letter. It says he's very upset with me and blah, blah, blah. He also sent me this cake. And it's a cake that's shaped like the White House or something.
Yeah,
and tarantulas crawl all over it.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
That's good script writing.
Does anybody know the story behind the giant spider in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
There's a backstory to it?
Oh, you don't know this?
Producer John Peters, who's also featured in the John Schnepp documentary, What Happened, the Superman Lives movie.
Oh. Right.
That's a good one.
It's a great movie. And
I just wish that director put something on nicer than a T-shirt for most of the time he's interviewing these people.
This is also famously Kevin Smith's only good story.
So this guy wanted a giant spider in that Superman movie. And everyone's like, yeah, but that doesn't make sense. And he's like, and if you watch the movie, you'll see how crazy this guy is. He's like a former hairdresser and like totally overcompensating for what he feels is like a lack of masculinity, I guess. Like he's like trying to wrestle people.
He got into the business being the hairdresser to Barbara Streisand. And then she started making him a producer on projects.
Like, what the fuck qualifies this guy to be a movie producer?
And then he just started, like, running the show in Hollywood in the 90s.
And basically, he just demanded that there was going to be a giant spider in the Superman movie. That fell through, and he's like, fuck it, Wild Wild West. And it's just in this movie now.
Oh, I totally forgot that story from that. Yeah.
Conceivably, that means the insanity of the steampunk nonsense didn't have to exist or didn't exist until John Peters said, give me a fucking giant spider.
Like, there's totally a possibility that this movie would have just been James Bond in the Old West, and it could have been kind of cool. But this, I mean, the shadow and the stink of steampunk that's just rotten throughout this movie.
Well, when you have to write backwards from a giant mechanical spider.
Okay, what do we have so far? Giant mechanical spider. All right, let's take a couple steps back.
Better pepper in some nonsense elsewhere. How about Bloodbath McGrath gets a phonograph ear?
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
That's steampunk. That sounds steampunk to me.
It's so disgusting. He says it's like a Civil War wound, and this is how he can hear.
Hey, Bloodbath, change the record.
Hey, how about another disgusting, gory detail? His phonograph ear bleeds orange ooze for some reason.
It also plays...
Man, Ted Levine, kill me now.
Oh, God.
Ted Levine just, like, turns over and fucking caramel pudding falls out of his ear. And he's like, oh, don't mind that. It's just a great big fat accident.
When did he turn into a gruff old man? Like, it happened overnight. I feel like speaking of Interview with the Vampire, whatever, like, curse he had to make that body that he has in Silence of the Lambs, he turned into a pumpkin. He turned into his father immediately. Like, he was just like...
Ted Levine Sr.,
mean?
I don't know. He's not that old on that Monk program.
Ted Theodore Levine! Esquire!
Oh no, my dad wants to send me to military school. I'm going to build a suit out of women's flesh. So whatever, they go out on this investigation to Utah to find this guy.
Whatever. And we're going around. We pick up Salma Hayek at some point.
Yeah, she's there.
She's at like the party that. It's not Love Lace. It's Loveless.
Loveless.
Yeah. Which is Kenneth Branagh,
who's basically playing Dracula.
He kind of
he's
is.
Playing like Gary Oldman's Dracula with no legs. Plus, I don't know, racist.
Super racist. And he's got this like, it's like a bi-level mustache he's got going on.
You know, well, you'll find that at a fucking steampunk convention, my friend. You'll find all sorts of mustache wear.
And I misspoke, by the way. We're not going to Utah just yet. Speaking of Interview with the Vampire, we're going to New Orleans first.
Yes.
Oh, because right. That's where the party is.
Yes. And they do... They're on this train. It's kind of a super train. It's conducted by the great M. Emmett Walsh, who gave me the only legitimate laugh in this movie. But they're on this train. And by the way, the beginning of this movie, we see a gentleman get decapitated, and we don't really know why.
Sure.
Until this scene, where somehow Kevin Klein has procured this man's head, and he's got it like stuck in this device in where they're doing the thing where it's like, oh, the back of your retinal display records the last thing you saw, so maybe we'll see who murdered him or whatever. And they turn this dude into like a jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, it's so stupid. And they project it on the screen, and oh my.
It's blurry. How do we fix it? My favorite part in the movie. It's blurry. We need to enhance the image.
And how do we do that, Ben?
We put spectacles on the guy's eyes.
This there isn't steampunk. This is Dahmer punk, man. Like
yes, that's what I want to take the nation by storm is Dahmer punk.
You know,
I firmly believe
that the retinal nerve records the last thing the victim sees before it dies, and I've done several human jack-o'-lantern experiments.
They all always see my dick. That's the last thing they see.
These human jack-o'-lanterns sure got some sharp images of my dick.
So if I text you a dick pic, it's taken off a dead man's retina.
Oh, he was murdered in prison long before dick pics.
That's true.
You had to send dick pics the old-fashioned way, in the mail.
Well, maybe if Dom, you know, like... A Dahmer punk elsewhere story, like where time travel or something.
Oh, I like that idea.
You know, you get Jeff Dahmer in like Bill and Ted's telephone booth.
And ooh, this is Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dude,
what kind of history report is this?
Come back here, Jeff. Why are you heading towards the boys' locker room?
Then Jeff? They would rightfully get the F they deserve for that rinky-dink history report they give.
F for bringing a notorious serial killer into this high school.
I mean, Napoleon was kind of a serial killer, right?
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, that's more of a mass murder.
So
on this image that is projected from this dead man's retina,
yeah,
is Bloodbath McGrath with a giant invitation sticking out of his shirt pocket saying, come to New Orleans and go to the Loveless party.
It's like this thing where like it's his like resurrection, because it's kind of murky and not really explained well, but he's presumed dead.
Whatever accident that took his legs.
Right.
And I'm not just his legs, the bottom half of his body.
His dick, too.
His dick as well.
His reproductive organ.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing fucking foghorn leghorn this whole movie.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's just the easiest way if you're a classically trained English actor to try to just play some dipshit American, just mimic foghorn leghorn.
You think Emma Thompson saw this movie?
No. No. Without question, no. Emma Thompson has better things to do. Like, oh, did you see I made Wild Wild West? Yeah, I saw that you made it. I'll never see it.
You see this Times crossword puzzle? It's not going to do itself.
I'll wait in the car while you attend this premiere. So we get to New Orleans, and
it's a costume ball.
Correct.
And my God. This is also before that. We get a nice scene on the train where Artemis Gordon or Kevin Klein is suggesting that Will Smith touch his breasts.
Right, because he's going to go undercover again.
They're tweaking breasts, and now it's like Will Smith drains some of the buckwheat out of Kevin Kline's breast.
This is adds
some water.
Really, why would you have buckwheat in there?
Right, yeah.
Groats? No. Water. That makes for a real breast.
How about goat's milk?
Well, that's not going to keep.
Sour.
Well, you don't need it to keep. You could be a smelly dame.
I feel like they unretired a Three's Company writer to write this bit, right? Like some like 60-year-old guy in Boca Raton.
I believe I looked at the writing credits for this movie.
Yeah.
And the team behind Ghost Dad was involved.
Oh, that's trouble.
Ghost Dad required a team of people.
Well, a writing team, two people that write scripts and often ones.
Yeah, I see.
but and
stop everything. Stop everything.
Put the podcast down.
The podcast has to be put down for a second. We just joked about something and I think we made it real.
No, what?
So, okay. So you were talking about like this writing team.
Uh-huh.
So I'm on the IMDb Tribune, as I sometimes am, uh-huh. because I'm, you know, trying to avoid getting my fucking ass chewed out on Twitter about factual errors. So I was like, while they're speaking, I'll quickly take a look at some of the people that worked on this screenplay, which fucking, sure. by
some
the way,
of,
four
yeah.
people, four people wrote this movie.
That's a team.
But so I just clicked on the first one, S.S. Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a Ghost Dad guy, right?
S.S. Wilson's page comes up.
Eighth president? Is it test president?
he's a Tremors person.
Oh.
That's solid flag.
He wrote the screenplay for Batteries Not Included, Short Circuit 2, Tremors, Ghost Dad, Heart and Souls, by the way, which we talked about recently. So then, yes, Wild Wild West. He's got all these character credits because he wrote the first Tremors.
Yeah.
Then... in the in-development section of this dude's fucking page. I'm not kidding you.
Ghost Mom?
TJ Hooker the movie.
What?
What?
Not him. Not him.
TJ Hooker the movie. Get. Details only on IMDb Pro, which I don't have.
Get
out.
I think we should rally the fan base to have us write the TJ Hooker movie.
Oh, you meant all of us collectively be TJ Hooker. Like we sit on each other's shoulders and then have the trench coat.
Maybe. That too, maybe.
Yeah, and save I guess this the is the writing partner, Brent Maddock. Also, TJ Hooker the movie.
That is insane.
In development.
That hurts. I love TJ Hooker. I do.
This is getting weird. So yeah, sorry to derail us, but I just couldn't even believe it.
That is insane.
Fresh off the IMDb Tribune.
But so Kevin Kline wants to dress as a lady at this party, and Will Smith's like, don't do that. And then like there's a lot of stuff. They break up. They don't see who he thinks he's dressed as a lady in this party.
Correct.
And then like this is the beginning of the back and forth between Kenneth Branagh, who looks like if a professional wrestler's gimmick was being Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
And without legs. And Will Smith, they go back and forth. You don't have legs. You're a black person. And that's a really funny joke for no one. And
well, it's awkward because Kevin Kline is like, hey, dress up as a butler.
Yeah.
You know, he's really throwing it in Kevin Kline's face. Like, sure. I'm not going to dress up like this. And Kevin Kline is like, hey, man. You're about to go into this fucking party with a bunch of Southern ex-Confederate super racists. You know, you gotta. This is the only way you're gonna blend in. And he's like, "No, I'm gonna walk in like Will Smith with my fucking big cowboy hat on,
desperado, da, da, and you don't mean mottos."
I think that's how it goes.
Yeah. So I guess the idea is Arliss Loveless. By the way, Arliss is assembling this team of ex-Confederates, you know, because they lost the war. And
yeah, it turned out they lost the war.
Can you believe that?
But he's also got a couple of dignitaries there. He's got a dignitary from France,
mm-hmm.
who's played, I believe, by Ian Abercrombie, Mr. Pitt from
yep,
Seinfeld,
yep, yep.
with approximately -3 lines of
dialogue.
I was
about to say a dignitary from the Upper West Side.
And there's a representative from Mexico, a representative from Spain.
Which is like, are we at war with all these countries now? If you think about it, if they're all complicit in buying back the country, because what Arliss Loveless wants to do
is the grand plan.
Right, is to have the United States government surrender to him and he's going to sell off like the south to Spain,
right?
The southwest.
Oh,
to Mexico.
England's there because he states that England gets back the 13 colonies,
right?
France gets the Louisiana Purchase back. And there's a little place in, like, the, you know, the northwest part of the country for loveless land.
Otisburg.
No, it's a total Otisburg situation.
This guy's quite the diplomat.
But, like, yeah, we should be at war with all those countries now.
Absolutely.
And that's a war that America can't win. So this is the end times of our nation.
Well, you know what? America can't win it, but loveless land can.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
I think this plot is what happens if Donald Trump becomes president.
Oh, he starts selling it off.
Oh, of course, because he's a quote businessman.
You know, I wouldn't mind that. You know,
if Donald
make New York part of England,
get some better health care. That's
what I was thinking.
We're gonna build the spider, and it'll be the best, most golden spider you've ever seen. It's gonna be perfect.
The only way to stop the Muslims is with the giant spider. I just, you know, who knows what they know? The giant spider knows. That's who knows.
We just got to look into it. We don't even know where to start. Nobody knows what's going on. We got to ask some things. We got to look a little deeper. We got to look into stuff. We got to do our research.
And build a giant spider.
Got to be strong. Got to be smart.
You know what,
though? Got to build a giant spider.
At least a giant spider is like an idea.
It's better than a wall, right?
It is.
If he was saying, you know, I might be actually a little intrigued if he was talking about giant border spider.
It's fucking feasible to build a giant spider robot.
All right, now I'm imagining a giant spider with a sombrero on its head and it's got like some Gatling guns.
Yeah.
That's how you keep everybody out, man.
That's how you do it. Not a wall, but with a giant spider. So he like faces off with Kenneth Branagh here, and it's like, oh, I thought you were dead. You're not. You're just in a wheelchair. Here's Selma Hayek for some reason.
She's been tied to a sex bed.
It's nothing. Yeah, we're introduced to her being pretty much tied to a sex bed.
And the character goes nowhere, spoiler alert.
It goes absolutely nowhere. There's absolutely zero reason for her to be in this movie.
Well, there's one reason.
Uh-huh.
Hey-o.
We'll get to it, I guess.
Yeah, because we can do it now. She's
Queen Slut.
Oh, yeah, we get to see a little butt cheeks.
Oh, a little top ridge of the butt.
Mm. And it's just like this gag where, like, she doesn't know what, like, cover-all pajamas are, and her
that don't
ass
exactly
is
cover-all.
Oh, hey. Cousin Merle, really?
Geech gone to heaven, Mr. Terwilliger. That'll always make me laugh.
Oh, totally. But, like, it's such a stupid thing because it's like, oh, here's this woman's ass crack. And then, like, Kevin.
Again, my little kid's got a fucking Burger King's Kid Club in his hand.
Yeah, we got the collector's cup, man, with the fucking Whopper Jr. with cheese. And then, like, both Kevin Kline and Will Smith are like, oh, could you just, oh, turn around for a sec? I forget, like, what the setup is, but, like, they make her, like, turn around, and they just do it again?
Like, over and over, and, like, I think even Kevin Kline's like, oh, what an ass-tastrophe, or some, like, stupid thing
he
like
keeps,
that.
It's one of those, like, that he keeps, like, meaning to say one word, but he just throws in ass. Mm-hmm. And then Will Smith does it with breast, and I am just chuckle fucking ucking watching this movie.
Yeah, so you see Selma Hayek's ass, and then a bunch of farts come out of these guys' mouths.
Her whole thing is supposedly, and when we get to the end of the movie, it's infuriating. But
I love Mexican people. I love Selma Hayek's ass.
But a giant spider might need to step on it.
She says to Kevin Kline and Will Smith that she's looking for her father. He's a scientist who's been kidnapped by Kenneth Branagh.
That gives her some reason to be in the movie, right?
Yeah, like, that's just a little motivation for the character.
Yeah, I mean, like, they have this party. Oh, Will Smith is almost lynched for hitting on a white woman.
Well,
we're back to the bosom subject.
Physically hitting on her.
Yeah, that's true.
Smacking her tits. I mean, sorry, but it happens.
That's what he does.
Don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen.
Well, because this is where, like, he doesn't know that Kevin Kline is not dressed up like a woman, so he sees this woman who's walking around, like, covering up her face.
I mean, this is an every which way but loose gag, right? Oh, somebody's kissing me. It must be a woman. Oh, it's not. It's an enormous ape.
At this party, Selma Hayek actually learns, oh, I overheard him saying he's going to Utah. And Kevin Kline's like, Utah? I know that my best friend, Ulysses S. Grant, is also going to Utah. And if he was, I'd think it'd sound a little like this.
God. This is Dave, right? We're watching Dave
it's
again.
It's so just fucking Dave all over again. And you know what? That was a living nightmare the first time.
Is it around this part that Loveless decides to kill his partygoers, these Confederates?
Oh, with his tank 360 with, machine gun thing?
Right, his war machine. Because this is, he's Loveless.
Next
is,
time, baby.
Is the Hydra of the Confederacy.
Right.
Because his logo is the spider, like he's got a flag of a spider with the stars and bars as well.
Yeah.
So he's like a pro.
It's kind of like rednecks, what redneck Spider-Man would wear. If Spider-Man was based in Macon, Georgia instead of New York City, he would wear exactly that.
And really into the Undertaker.
Well, who isn't?
That's a fair point. I think this is right after the party when that machine of destruction shows up.
Oh, actually, I want to say one thing. The funny lynching that happens. So,
oh, yeah.
God.
Will Smith's about to get lynched, literally, and it's really funny for no one and really uncomfortable for everyone.
He's staring at the noose.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the shot.
That's a pretty powerful image, Barry Sonnenfeld. Right? You know what I mean? Like a little weighted.
Well, that's what I was going for, to sort of balance the comedy of Wild Wild West
but
with
he
the
used,
danger of
but
the
it's
Wild
actually
Wild West.
Artemis Gordon's spring noose, and it like bounces him around.
Why in the ever-loving shit would you invent a spring noose?
Because Kevin Kline went as like a Quebecois fur trapper or whatever.
Oh, right.
And he just throws them the rope and tells them to hang him.
But so you are Artemis Gordon. Yeah. You're in your workshop on a train that's being piloted by M. Emmett Walsh. And you're sitting there trying to think about like ideas for your next big invention, right? And you're like, oh, a noose that's stretchy. Like a gag noose? Is he also making like gag prop things?
I mean, he does have a pool table that flips upside down.
Yeah.
Spring-loaded chairs.
Yeah, we definitely have to look into the patent of the whoopee cushion because it might belong to Artemis Gordon.
Oh, all the funny jokes. Whoopee cushions, spring nooses. Hey, Barry Sonnenfeld, racism still exists. It's not like 1999 was this golden post-racial era.
Oh, look at the fun, kitschy time of 1869.
You might say that, Steve, but we got about five funny little minutes of Will Smith trying to beg for his life.
That's true. I was laughing.
Trying to get his way out of it.
And when he's doing that, did you guys catch, like, when he's breaking down, he breaks down the term redneck, right? And
first you got red.
The color of passion, you know? Yeah. And
strength.
And strength. And then he literally, like, he goes, neck. And he's, again, it's that shot of him staring at a noose.
Yeah.
And it goes nowhere. Like, at least if you're going to do that, come up with something.
A joke,
like,
maybe a joke.
It's just like skin crawling.
Was anybody else thinking of George Costanza trying to do that manure line on Marisa Tomei? You got Ma, which is good. And Nua,
yes,
which is
good.
Of course.
That was, oh my God. They could have used that. Anything.
So they go to they get on this train to Utah. And
right, now Loveless has killed the Confederates also as a show of force,
right,
for the Europeans.
Because this ain't your mama's Confederate uprising.
Oh, that's right. The Spider Confederacy, which is a totally different animal.
Exactly. It's a totally different animal. So, yeah, we're,
oh, no,
we're
and
going
and
to
he
Utah.
Kills Ted Levine kind of unceremoniously.
Right. His wheelchair
he slaughters
him.
His troops, right?
Yeah.
But Ted Levine
those
is murdered
boys.
Separately. He shoots him in the stomach and has him thrown in the bay.
Because he's offended by the fact that Loveless is killing all these loyal sons of the South. But
right.
Loveless is like, well, you lost the war.
Right. I'll say you lost the war, son.
And that is unforgivable, sir.
What is the bigger betrayal? You losing the war or me just testing my machine out?
Hey, Emma, you want to run lines with me? I ran lines with you when you did Howard's End.
No, that's all right.
Oh. I got to stay in character for 4 months.
Oh, of Kenneth, course do shave that beard.
So then he just read lines with Looney Tunes?
He went to Great Adventure and did lines with the guy in the Bugs Bunny suit.
Sir, my name is Carl. I just work here.
I say, Carl.
Uh-huh.
Let me talk to you.
So we're on this train. It is a gadget train.
We see Selma Hayek's ass, which is great.
Correct.
Fantastic.
The only reason she's in the movie.
Yep.
Why is he, like, building all these ejector seats into this train and whatnot?
Ah, fun.
Just fun,
I
dangerous
guess.
Fun.
In case M.M. and Wall starts mouthing off too much.
You know, you don't pay me. Oh, no.
Is this train the Air Force One of, like, the 1800s?
That's a good point.
Train Force One, man.
It becomes that at the end of the movie because Ulysses S. Grant steals it from them.
And in the TV show, I believe the train is given to them by the government.
Oh, I see.
Oh, so it's already tricked out, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's weird. I realize I don't understand, like, how the open rails work, because, like, they get on this train and M.M. at Walsh is like, all right, boys, where do y'all want to go? And they're like, we want to go to New Orleans. And he's like, New Orleans, got it. And they have their little adventure, and then they get back in the train. And he's like, okay, boys, where to next? And they're just like, Utah. And he's like, Utah, right away. And, like, we're just going to Utah. And I'm like,
like, it's overnight.
Like, it's not like driving a fucking car. Like, right. Don't you have to, like, make plans to, you know?
It takes time.
There's rails that you're gonna.
There's at least a lot of switching going on.
Yeah. Like, how do you do that then? Like, they don't have radios.
You,
like,
could run into another train.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, like that Chris Pine movie.
But that's when the train extendo legs up.
Oh, right. Loveless is war train.
Because we do get that later on in the movie.
And here's another. Now the real impossible railroad deal in this movie is at one point they find, Loveless's private track. It's like, what? He had a private railroad installed?
How and when?
It's millions of dollars.
It's covered with dust so that it's hidden, like an Indiana Jones artifact. But it makes no sense. Like, who built it? And how does no one know it exists? Because that's a major thing.
It's just like you built a secret highway.
Exactly.
I mean, this
a
is
lost
kind of
highway, if you will.
Oh.
This is around the time the movie stalls out to a dead fucking stop.
Oh, when they get stuck in the desert?
Well, because, like, Salma Hayek shows her ass, and, like, you know a movie has pacing problems when everyone goes to sleep. Like, everyone's just like, good night, Will Smith, good night, and they go to bed. But then they wake up, and then I guess, like, Arliss Loveless has his own secret train, and it's attacking them, and then there's this whole stupid scene. And they wind up in the desert at the end of it. Like, well, they get knocked out.
It's
and they,
even it's so dumb because the billiards balls have sleeping gas in them.
Sure.
And Selma Hayek just grabs one and gasses them, so they are thwarted by themselves.
Boner jam.
Yeah. So then they wake up in the desert
with these things, these magnets around their neck, very similar to the guy in the first scene.
Oh, right.
Right.
And there's a weird cock joke where, like, He's like, I'm going to say hello to Salma Hayek later. And then, like, Will Smith's like, with what, you motherfuck? And he's like, you think with all my crazy inventions, I didn't figure something out for my lower body? And then they show this other thing that looks like a dick, and it goes up and down. And
you mean a steampunk dildo?
An enormous steampunk dildo.
So what this dildo's actual intentions are, is it's warming up these saw blades that it's going to shoot out at our heroes here,
right,
who have magnets around their necks. So the idea is the saw blade would find them and cut their heads off, just like the scientist at the start of the film.
Right, our human jack-o'-lantern.
And this makes me think, magnets. How do they work?
Find out July 16th at the Little Theater. If we sell it out, we're getting some Juggalo makeup on. We'll tell you how magnets work.
I don't know how. Watching this movie, I thought I knew what magnets were until I saw this movie.
Well, even Will Smith is a bit confused by magnets.
They're like heat-seeking missiles.
Well, he says to Kevin Kline, he's like, how long do magnets last? And Kevin Kline's like, I don't know, like 400 years?
Well, the funny thing is, like, wouldn't you just, if you duck down, you're fine, man? Like...
Well, no, because then they would, like, go down and, you but know, the, presumably.
Presumably.
Well, right. We see this, like, saw blade technology work at the beginning of the movie, man. We're told this thing's fucking, like, flipping all over the place. Like, that's going, true. Winding all over the forest so, and whatnot.
He has the world's foremost scientists captured, I'm sure. Right. He has a magnet specialist.
A magnetician, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And he can do this, but he can't use a light bulb. You know, like, let's put this energy towards, I don't know, electricity. Something.
Get away from steam for a while.
Yeah, let's think about something else other than steam.
Steam is our past, our present, and our future. So they kind of like do this dumb thing where they like jump into a hole at the same time.
And it's like filled with
shit. Gully, I believe.
Oh.
It's filled with what?
Isn't it filled with shit?
Oh, it's full of red clay, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was shit.
And it's a bad... wait, like,
no, that's the movie.
All right, let's stop for a second. Steve, where did you think this shit came from? Were there a bunch of orcs underground shitting up?
I've never been to the desert, Eric. I don't know how the Dubaks shit or where they shit.
Oh my God, Dubaks are in this?
Yeah.
Could be a runoff from Loveless Town.
That's right. Maybe was some sort of like, you know.
That's the sewer line.
Because,
exactly.
Spoiler alert, he has shitter a whole...
Was full.
I say I magnetize my shit. Whenever I shit, it goes towards your face.
Spoiler alert, I'm sorry. Point. Spoiler alert.
Oh, he's got a big town.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh's built like
he's got a
big
whole town.
City in this like gulch.
Right.
That's what they say out west, right? It's a gulch.
It's a gulch.
You can't say a hole. It's got to be a gulch. So there's a city there for some reason.
And I mean, this whole movie, Will Smith and Kevin Kline are just bickering. Like, you know what? At least the Men in Black got their shit together. And they're like, you know what, man? You're the old one. I'm the cool one. Let's figure it out and go.
But also, Steve... Great point bringing up Men in Black, because that chemistry allowed for like hilarious tete-a-tete, yeah. You know, kind of dialogue where we're like, they're constantly one-upping each other. And also in this movie, by the way, Will Smith almost always has the cool guy upper hand.
Yes.
Kevin Kline's just getting dumped on the entire time. He's either being made fun of for dressing like a woman. He's got all his inventions that Will Smith keeps claiming... You know, do not work, which they do. They're
He's
just
the world's
silly.
Foremost genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just gets dumped on this whole movie. So they're in this fucking, you know, shithole, literally a shithole. And it's some of the worst CGI in the movie where, like, two Will Smith and Kevin Kline cartoons, like, drop down. And then, like, they make this terrible jump cut to the two actors just sitting in this stuff. It's like, you know, just put, like, a pad under it. Fill it up with your fake shit. And have them, like, jump into frame a little bit. It's so cheaply done. And we're talking, like, oh, yeah, this movie had money on it. Like, where would... The money had to be
$180 million.
Most of that had to be to, like, Will Smith.
In $1999 dollars.
Oh, my God.
That's like $4 billion bucks.
Or bison bucks. Oh,
they might have been financing this movie with bison bucks, actually. That makes total sense. A Shadaloo Films production.
There was a... I read the Ebert review, and he likened the special effects... in this movie to watching money burn on screen.
Oh, God.
And I was
he
like...
He was the best.
Wow. I was hat tip to you, Raj.
So what was it, 3.5 stars?
I believe he gave this one a single sheriff star.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Worked nice.
The courage that day.
Yeah.
So John Peters gets to come because a giant spider shows up in this movie. And it waddles around, and everyone's like, oh, my God, look at this giant spider, which doesn't look that bad, but doesn't look that good either.
When it comes out of the gulch, by the way, there's this terrible, again, composite shot of the two actors staring up at this thing, and like the final leg comes out of the hole and like just crosses above their heads, kind of a thing.
Whew, close call.
Yeah, and of course, neither of these actors knew that that's what how it was going to be drawn, because neither of them are like, "Holy fuck, that almost hit us."
Yeah.
Kevin Kline's just like staring up at the soundstage ceiling as they animate this thing go like 6 inches over their heads. Like, give me a break.
Oh, so that, much of that this West is so cool.
So much of the desert stuff is like, I'm in Delaware.
It's so poorly done.
This is when they get kidnapped 3 or 4 different times, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, we're getting kidnapped. Oh, well, actually. Isn't this kind of around the time they try to stage a coup on the spider?
Yeah.
And Will Smith is, like, potentially assassinated, and we don't really know what's going on?
Yeah, because basically Ulysses S. Grant gets kidnapped, who talks like this, and Kevin Kline talks like this. So they're two different people. And then Frank Langella is pulling the strings? I forget. No, that's Dave. I'm sorry. I always mix up Dave.
You know what's a silly part in Dave, by the way? The end where Sigourney Weaver's like, okay, you can see him. And it's like the real president in this like gigantic chamber thing.
Yeah, that's where they kept Darth Vader. It's kind of the same thing.
I would love it if it was just this fucking sphere and it's like just opening and Kevin Kline's like putting a hairpiece on.
Well, you know, American presidents terrorized the known galaxy as well, just like Mr. Vader did. But around this part is when we're Ulysses S. Grant is
yes.
at the connecting of the two railroads from yep. like the Pacific.
Oh,
and
right. That's what it right. is. That's why he's out there.
And this like perked my interest because now I know this shares. This is like within the cinematic world of Hell on Wheels.
Oh, right. Your hero, Bohannon.
Bohannon. What? Bohannon's friends with Ulysses S. Grant, man.
Oh.
And I think he was there when this was going down.
Dude, do you think Bohannon was like one of the first Secret Service agents? That's how they should end that show.
That is how they should end this show. We'll see. There's about 6 or 7. I think there's 5 episodes left of the series, so I'll let you know.
Let me know if a giant spider shows up.
I will. That'd be really cool.
Common riding a giant spider?
Oh, Common's long dead.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Oh, that's too bad. I like Common quite a bit.
Oh my God, what they did to his character. And his character was stupid to begin with. He turned into like a, he like thought he was like a bear.
What?
Yeah, it's like insane. And
what in God's name are you guys talking
Bohannon
about?
Bohannon had to put him down like a dog, Ben.
There's an AMC goodness. Series that no one watches except for Eric, Common, and Colmeany called Hell on Wheels.
Yeah. Oh, it's me and the cast. That's the only thing I watch.
Common the Rapper.
Yes, Common yeah. the Rapper.
In a show about trains about in the 1870s?
Yes. I would like to think, actually, that this show was canceled years ago and Eric's just making up plots. Just like my brain has continued the show Rubicon long after that first season.
Ooh. I remember that show.
Oh, yeah. I'm still having all sorts of adventures with James Badgedale and that secret spy unit.
Oh, sure.
Lagavulin. The good shit.
I was a big fan of that show.
It was a good show.
I was the only one.
Welcome back to WHM On Screen Low Winter Sun. we're talking about the third season. No, we're not. No one watched that one either.
No, definitely no one watched Low Winter Sun.
Not even me.
Well, Bohannon wasn't on there.
No, Anson Munt? No, he was not.
Isn't it Mount?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
You're a huge fan of that
show. Apparently you're a bigger fan.
I just remembered his name.
Knowing his name. Why? Because he was in Crossroads with Britney Spears?
Stay tuned.
Oh, Wicca, yeah. Wicca
movie. Good Wicca call. Wicca Dan Aykroyd is Britney Spears' dad in that movie.
Oh, God, that's right.
Oh, totally.
I forgot about that.
You know what'll cheer you up after your high school graduation? Some Crystal Skull vodka. That movie stinks. Speaking of stinks, Wild Wild West.
Whatever. I mean, Will Smith dresses like a lady at this point. Oh, on the fly, Kevin Kline invents a flying machine. Like,
Fuck you, Wright Brothers.
Yeah, that's right.
This is insane because it works.
It works.
And he builds it like, again, like the Wile E. Coyote in a day.
Yeah. Not in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, like, it's so stupid because like earlier in the movie, they're on the gadget train and he's like, we need something to catch up with that giant spider. And he's like, oh, well, you know, fucking 500 years ago or whatever, Leonardo da Vinci invented a flying machine, but he never got to finish it. He's got these blueprints, and Will Smith's like, shut up, we're going to take a horse or something like that. And you're just like, well, that flying machine is definitely coming back at some point. But yeah, where is the weeks that it will take this man to engineer this thing?
No, he does it in 15 minutes.
Because Acme delivered the box to his train.
They immediately fly off a cliff, and thankfully an anvil was not attached to the, to the plane.
I mean, yeah, well, this Utah desert looks so Looney Tunes in this context.
Yeah, you're totally right.
And what does Kevin Klein dub this air vessel? Because it's like, what are you going to name it? You know, because the whole thing is like, oh, is he going to name it an airplane? Is it?
Well, because the gag is like he invents these things that we have now, and he gives them like these ridiculously long,
like
convoluted names,
velocity and heightener or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he calls this one the Air Gordon,
which is topical because Michael Jordan retired about 3 years before this movie even came out.
Right, and he,
so it's on everybody's lips.
Yeah.
And it, you can see, like, Will Smith, like, in this thing, like, giving this look like, ha, basketball. It's such a dumb moment in this movie, man. Air Gordon. They should have made the plane do, like, a 360, like, dunk maneuver kind of a thing.
That would have been fun.
Sure. See that? Hey, what the hell? It's Wild Wild West.
It might as well be fucking Space Jam.
Might as well be Space Balls.
So we find ourselves on the spider. We're fighting. It's the final fight or whatever. And Will Smith gets knocked down into like a crevasse of the spider. And, you know, one of the more repeatable racist things that I could say on this show that Kenneth Branagh says is we're going to give that boy a whooping. Right?
Oh, sure.
We don't have a shed on board or something. It goes on for a while.
You know, they don't have a shed on board, Steve, but you know what they somehow managed to stuff in the bowels of this fucking machine is like a monster cafeteria.
It's an army of robot men out of nowhere.
What the fuck?
It's Baraka from Mortal Kombat.
There's Baraka. There's a Kung Fu hillbilly. There's the Terminator. Yep. That's down
the
there as well.
There with his steel skull cap.
These are all midnight movies I'd go to. Kung Fu Hillbillies. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Sign me up for Kung Fu Hillbillies.
FYI, this is a reshoot, by the way.
Are you serious?
Because throughout this movie,
this producer also had a huge boner for a monster party that he wanted to film.
No, Loveless is surrounded by, like, an army of femme fatales.
Right, just
one of
like
which
Gaddafi.
Being Biling and one of them being...
they all have like names specific to what they do,
Munisha,
right?
Munisha, who's God, played by the mother from the OC, by
Give
the way. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
deep pull.
Deep pull.
Are you rewatching that one, too?
I am actually in the middle of watching the OC, everybody.
Loser.
Yeah, that's right.
Rewatch!
Wild West, here we come. Wild West.
But they're fighting. Apparently, in the original movie, it's Will Smith fighting these ladies.
And
the audience is tested poorly. So,
what?
Like, I don't know.
I would like to see that.
They're like, oh, he's got a bunch of monsters. You know, like, whatever.
There is a man who's walking and talking with a railroad spike through his head. Man, these are class A zombies.
Whoa, is that Phineas Gage?
What?
Google it.
Are you talking about your common show again?
No. Have you guys not heard of Phineas Gage?
I've not.
This was an actual guy back in the day who had a railroad spike shot right through his head and I think out the other side. Or maybe he got stuck in there and he lived.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, I mean, I think he was a little bit lobotomized from it, but he lived.
What? See, look, yeah, Wikipedia. Phineas P. Gage.
All right,
construction foreman. American Railroad construction foreman, remembered for his improbable survival of an accident in which a large iron rod was driven completely through his head.
Yeah, iTunes, move us to education. We've done it.
That E now stands for education.
It's not explicit.
So whatever, he dispatches with all these monsters.
Well, I gotta say, the one dispatch of the monster, the Baraka guy.
Uh-huh.
Did I have a different cut of the movie or something? Because this line.
Oh, it's the worst.
He says, what was it? It's no more Mr. Knife Guy after he kicks this guy off this thing.
Yeah. We all had it.
Yeah. I got to say one thing, though. It's underused in this movie. He uses it on another henchman earlier in the film. A little bit of a foot blade going on, a boot blade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I always love a boot blade.
You like any a boot
old,
blade?
Yeah, any old time it shows up.
Well, I mean, and that's very James Bond right there. Exactly. James Bond of the Old West, man. And that's what it should have been kept to. Boot blades are lower.
You get lower than a boot blade.
You figure it out. I don't know. But like simple gadgetry.
Right.
Like a boot blade.
Right.
It's like saying boot blade.
Yeah. I love a boot blade. You click it, you stab someone in the gut by kicking them. Yeah.
Now what, see, I would find the obnoxious part of a boot blade is like the retraction.
Yeah. That's going to take a while.
You got like tapping your toe to like
you got to do a
shove
heel,
it.
You got to do a Charlie Chaplin heel click.
That is so much effort, though. Wow.
Wait, a Charlie Chaplin heel click or an Adolf Hitler heel click? Isn't it funny they had the same mustache?
Oh, get out of here, Paul W. Reddit.
That's a jackboot blade.
Touche.
So then Will Smith fights Kenneth Branagh because Kevin Kline is like
out of the movie.
He's dance fighting these women because he like is refusing to hit these ladies.
Oh, right.
So, like, they're beating the shit out of him, and he, like, just dance dodges them until they all fall off of this contraption.
Yeah, he gets jiggy with it.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Wicked, wicked. Now, also, as what you want to see, right, when it's an actor playing two characters...
Oh,
is those two characters should team up and fight somebody, right? So this should be Artemis Gordon and President Ulysses S. Grant.
Having sex.
Yes, that's where I was going with this. Having sex with each other.
I thought that would be interesting.
While this mechanical spider's going down. One for the road.
You know, Artemis, I don't want to die a virgin.
Says President Ulysses S. Grant.
Come on. That's probably true.
That's why they put him on the $50 bill.
Stroke my beard like I like it.
So,
work
yeah.
Your way down.
We're fighting Kenneth Branagh now. He's like got a little mini spider device because he's walking with these legs.
Oh, God. Right. Because Will Smith taunts him about, you know, having wheels and not legs. And he's like, oh, I do declare.
And then, I'm a robot.
Yeah. And then the robot legs came out and he's like, you know, four is better than two and blah, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And he's about to, he's going to stomp his face with his robot leg. And Kevin Kline, you think he's going to shoot him in the fucking head and end the movie, but he doesn't.
Right.
He shoots him in like a hydraulic and that gives Will Smith like, the upper hand.
Yeah, and it's really annoying because this whole movie is very weird in Will Smith being like, well, guns are awesome. Why don't you have a gun? Don't you like shooting people to death? And Kevin Kline's like, I'm a scientist.
He's a good guy with a gun.
Right.
He's MacGyver.
And so he finally thinks, like, you know, I gave you this gun contraption, use it. And he, like, shoots the hydraulic thing and whatnot.
And now they're both hanging off a cliff, hanging off the spider thing. Will Smith is hanging off the back of Kenneth Branagh's wheelchair.
Right, you know, the spider's backed off into a cliff a little bit, too, right? You got your spider stuck.
Yes. Well, this spider's going down, man.
Yeah.
Almost. It's going to fall off this cliff.
Like, Kenneth Branagh's like, oh, if I, you know, hit this ejector seat, we'll both die, but then that'll be great because I'm a huge racist, and, you know, and Will Smith's like, yeah, whatever. And he, like, hits the ejector seat, killing Kenneth Branagh and lives, like, whatever.
Yeah, he miraculously grabs a hold of, like...
One of the robot men, I think?
Yeah, I think one of the chained robot men that...
But not before they sneak in one more... choice racist barb.
Oh, yeah. He says, I'll be a monkey's uncle, and everyone's asshole just goes, ew.
Doesn't he call him boy?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
like
it's
that?
Oh my just God. Forever on that.
They say the B word 1,000 times in this movie.
I don't know. Goodbye.
Yeah, AOL screen keyword goodbye.
I just heard a I just
door
heard a
shut.
That'd be great if that was the end of this movie.
It, you know, it might as well be. Whatever. So it's like we're getting like this, you know, Ulysses S. Grant's kind of giving us a round of applause. He starts the Secret Service because he's like, you know, the president shouldn't be kidnapped by a madman.
Or shot in the back of the fucking head in the theater.
So how about a protection agency?
But and Selma Hayek shows up, like, "Hi, I was in this movie the whole time. By the way, that guy, that scientist who I said was my father, was actually my husband. Goodbye, movie."
Exactly. Last time you saw her, butt crack, and then, oh, that guy, he's my, yeah.
And then it's just like, nothing. I am sexually off the table. No one gets me. Goodbye.
That's what it is, because it's like the movie doesn't want to, like, have her end up with either of them, even though the whole middle of the movie is them, like, drooling over her, and then she's like, well, at least you have each other, and it's total sequel setup, because Ulysses S. Grant's like, here's your next mission in this envelope, where you don't get to see what it says.
Why not have, if you're not going to do that, don't have your female protagonist be a sexual object.
Yeah, the whole time.
That's her only role.
Yep.
It's crazy. And by the way, I think that was her father.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, oh, that's my husband.
She wanted to get away from those guys.
Bye.
He had a little salt and pepper going on.
Dude, what if she got together with M. Emmett Walsh at the end of this movie?
Sucks to be you, boy. Whoop, whoop. While you were sleeping in the back of this train, I was winning a heart up in the conductor seat.
I was running lots of game the whole movie. Didn't mention.
There's some dumbass twist that M. Emmett Walsh
closes deals. Bye-bye.
M. Emmett Walsh is apparently like a secret U.S. Marshal.
Whatever movie.
The president like assigned to watch over them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, who could care?
And the sequel should be us using this giant spider, because we get, right, they drive. That's like the big joke at the end. They don't have a horse or anything. They're left out there. The president takes the train car.
Yes.
And they have to walk away they have to have the spider walk away, and they're driving it. How about use that to attack Mexico now and then, you know, attack Europe?
We'd have a lot less problems, is all I'm saying.
It's my shitty Donald Trump, but you get it.
An entire border of spiders protecting America.
I mean, and that's it. They crawl off into the sunset eating spider cake.
Why won't Barack Obama say giant spider? I don't understand it. Him or Crooked Hillary won't say giant spider.
Losers.
I mean, they talk about it, they don't say it. They almost say giant spider, but they don't say giant spider.
Oh man,
what would it be like? He would be loveless, so he'd be for the racism. Would it be like radical civil rights or something? Like, what would it be?
Radical civil rights.
I'll say Ulysses S. Grant won't say radical civil rights. I'll say. What a stupid movie, man. That's the end of it. Would anybody recommend it?
No. We do get the Wicca Wild Wild at the end of it, which is good.
Best part of the movie.
It's a really bad song. Anytime you got to talk about the villain of your movie in your song.
Find out about Vigo, the master of evil, trying to battle my boys. That's not legal. Ghostbusters 2.
That's bad. See, that's bad. See what Andrew did just to everybody? That's bad.
Soundtrack to Easy Rider? That's good. Singing about fucking Loveless? That's bad.
Yeah, this movie is trash. I don't get it, kids. I know this is probably your favorite movie.
Ooh, no.
I don't know. You never know. Sometimes we get some people that are like,
yeah,
hey, I like the prequels. Or, you know, hey, I like Mystery Men. So I just assume people must love this movie.
I mean, there might be. Ben Wooster, are you one of these people?
I mean, I remember seeing this movie, and I was a Get Shorty fan. Sure. I liked Men in Black.
Men in Black, Adam's mm-hmm. Family, good Barry Sonnenfeld
I
movies.
I thought Barry Sonnenfeld was a good director.
I liked his cameo in Barton Fink as a guy holding a telephone.
Brilliant work. Brilliant work. But, no. Wild Wild West. Wild Wild Worst.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've been saving that one the whole episode.
Yeah, this was the first and last time I'll see this movie.
Yeah,
like,
hopefully.
I could not believe what I was watching with this movie. Could not believe it. Could not believe that they passed this off as a big tentpole summer movie.
As family entertainment.
That's also the big part of it.
They sunk $180 million into this. How is that even possible?
I don't know. I didn't look up the box office receipts, but I would be interested.
It made $220 million.
Oh, did it really?
It was considered a disappointment.
It just, okay, it just made money, but then, like,
thank God.
To dovetail with your revelation in the middle of the episode here.
Oh, with T.J. Hooker, the movie?
Yeah.
Just to remind Eric that that's happening?
Just before
it's disturbing.
We did this, literally, like, earlier today on this record, there was an article on the internet published about how Will Smith hates this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it just kind of came out. I don't know. He got interviewed somewhere. A little clickbaity, but it was weird that it just happened to pop up like just now.
Well, that's how we work, man.
He said something like he was obsessed with winning at the time. And he wanted to be the biggest movie star. Right. Didn't care about the quality of the things he was making, such as Wild Wild West.
What's his excuse going to be for Suicide Squad, you think?
That he wanted to be the biggest movie star in the world, and he was just caring about winning.
That's Wild Wild West, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. For more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, and of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Now, Ben Wooster, you are on a program called Blame It on Outer Space. Tell us a little bit about that and where the folks at home can find it if they have not already.
Well, that's true, Eric and myself. Well,
what?
Well, different versions of ourselves, I suppose.
Right. You might say characters.
Right, and, you know, long thought dead show, but it's back from the grave, like Jason Voorhees.
We had that great Berenstain Bears episode.
That's the latest episode.
We defibrillate it every month or so. Kind of shock it back into life.
Yeah, well, Ben, why don't you tell them about that latest episode?
Well, it is a great episode. It's about parallel worlds.
Oh, okay.
And we go into, we use the Berenstain Bears as, I mean, you guys have heard about this, right?
Yeah, it's evidence, right?
Yeah.
Exhibit A. Am I derailing my own plug?
Exhibit
almost?
B.
I like it.
Actually, when I heard out about this like Berenstain theory, like I was fascinated by it. It's based off the Mandela theory.
Yes,
right. That, which is you can explain it.
Yeah, basically that like.
Can you?
Well, we'll go into it. But you know what? I won't.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the episode.
So, oh, good call.
Right. BlameItOnOuterSpace.com. Mm. Or better yet, subscribe on iTunes.
And you've got that weird guy calling you guys, leaving voicemails, which is my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, right.
That is a great segment. BIOS wrong numbers.
Looking for Don Providence.
Yeah, an ongoing
character on the show.
Ongoing thing on the show is like we do a mailbag on We Hate Movies. We have a voicemail on Blame It on Outer Space, and you can call up and tell us a ghost story or something like that. But we get,
what's that number?
Well, thank you for asking, Steve. That number is 718-593-4619. And then what's really funny is we've been getting a constant wrong number of people looking for a man named Don Providence.
Wait, you're saying people as in more than one person's been doing this?
Yeah, it was a couple of doctor's offices.
God.
And then there was a guy that called up looking for him, and like he was talking to people like off phone. It was like, I don't know why he's not picking up his phone. I don't know. I'm calling him on his phone. So if you want riveting content like that, plus, you know, talk about stuff like the Berenstain Bears proving that there are alternate dimensions.
We had a
parallel world.
We had a Berenstain Bears expert on the latest episode.
Yes. That guy loves the Berenstain Bears.
He's got a bear cast.
I know he does.
I feel like the only evidence I need for an alternate universe is that Hell on Wheels is getting a final season. Like
somehow the final season wasn't also the first season.
Dude, want me to blow your mind, dude?
Please.
You know how like AMC split the seasons for like Breaking Bad and Mad Men?
Right. Uh-huh.
It's happening for Hell on Wheels.
What?
Yeah, we're finally
complete. Who has the time?
Well, plenty of Americans.
Uh-huh.
And international watchers.
And people in the other dimension.
Yes.
Not so many numbers in this dimension, but the other dimension.
It's me and lizard people.
That's why BIOS is still on the air, actually.
Oh, it's yeah, all the other dimensions tuning in.
Through the roof in the other dimension.
Oh, for sure. The next week on the program, the summer blockbuster extravaganza continues. We're getting into the dog days of summer, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking Lady in the Water, so you're going to get a chance to dip into Paul Giamatti's pool to cool off.
Oh, ew. Speaking of shit. Dipping in shit.
I think I'd rather be in that water tower with Will Smith.
And his taint. So next week, we've got M. Night Shyamalan's much-hated Fairy Tale. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Ben Worcester.
Take it easy.